Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. The Lord knows what you need. He knows what each one of us needs. I need something from the Lord today. I'm hungry, and I need something from the Lord. And I'm sure you do too. I know we all do. And the Lord is so gracious and so faithful. And if we will just join together and reach out, the Holy Spirit is here to grant everything that we need. Whatever it is, salvation, healing, deliverance, comfort, hope, peace. We all need our hope lifted up and encouragement, joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you need strength, you need the joy of the Lord. Jesus was anointed with joy above his fellows. He had joy even in the midst of trials and sufferings. And he suffered more than any of us ever could. And he came to deliver us out of suffering. John chapter 10, verse 35. Well, I'll read 34 and 35, but it's really one phrase that I want to focus on. 34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" He said, "I said, ye are gods." 35, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, or the law, or the Jews, the Torah came to the Jews, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now the phrase, and I don't believe that I'm taking this out of context by pointing out this one phrase, and if I am, the Lord did too, because this is what he showed me, and I had never seen it. As many times as I've read the book of John, I had never seen it like this before. I had always read the whole thing there, all those verses together, and took them as a whole. But in verse 35, it says, the scripture cannot be broken. The Lord pointed that out to me. The scripture cannot be broken. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit today about covenants. Because we have a lack of understanding in this day and time of what covenants mean. You see, divorces right and left. A marriage is a covenant. People break it right and left. People make promises, and they turn around and break them. People sign papers of all sorts, treaties, and they turn around and break them as if it's nothing. But I tell you, God made some covenants, and they are not to be broken. He made covenants with men. Not just one, not just two, but he made a few covenants, if you really study the scriptures. But today we're going to focus on two covenants that God made. And you've heard it before, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 17. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. It really, you might have the potential You might partake of a few things which those, the Jewish people, had the law, they had the covenant, and certain things were provided under that covenant, healing being one of them, prosperity being another, and many other things were provided under that covenant. But they could not be made perfect, as we just read. They could not be made perfect under that covenant by the blood of bulls and goats and oxen and sheep and doves and all of that. They could not be made perfect. You know, that's why when Jesus died on the cross, He descended into hell and led captivity captive. There were those waiting, not in the flames, not in everlasting punishment, but they were waiting in a certain place. The place of the dead. It's the Hades, I think it may be called in the Bible. And He went and preached to them because they were looking forward to what He was going to do. So He delivered them at that time. So they could not fully partake. All the people, up until Jesus died, could not fully partake of their inheritance. Even though they could partake of healing and some things. How much more we have. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament or the covenant which God hath enjoined unto you." Amen. Now I looked up, you know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and I looked up that word in the Greek, that word enjoined, because I wanted to know exactly what that meant. And it has something to do with position. With position. I'll get into that in a minute. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things were by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the earthly tabernacle, the building, the tent, and then later became a temple. The building was only a pattern. But our bodies are the real tabernacle. Purged in blood. So that we can enter in fully. Spirit, soul, and body, we can walk right in to the Holy of Holies by that blood. Spirit, soul, and body. We can enter in. Now, we have record of a couple of people that entered in. Enoch was translated. He did not see death. Elijah went up in a fiery chariot. He did not see death. And then they never found Moses' body. We don't, you know. Maybe they were shadows, maybe they were examples. There may be more that we don't know about that are not written in the Word. Especially since Jesus died on the cross. Because the Word does say that if everything that He did was written down, the whole world could not contain the books. Oh, glory. Oh, we have so much good stuff in this book right here, in this covenant, in this will. We have so much good stuff that we can partake of. But it says that if everything He did was written down, the whole world could not contain the books. Amen. So we have plenty enough to read right here to give us hope, to give us encouragement, to give us faith, to show us what we have in Him. But imagine if we had all those books with all that. How can we doubt How can we doubt? If the Scripture cannot be broken, and God Himself has written it, how can we doubt? Let's not allow the enemy to come and sow weeds. Even if our manifestation doesn't come right away, let's not doubt. Let's endure to the end. Let's keep standing. And many of you will get your healing or whatever you need from the Lord today. It will manifest immediately today. Maybe some will not. But I want to encourage you, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Never give up. The only way that you'll lose out and not be able to partake of what's provided for you is if you give up. So that's why it's good to come out to service, because it builds you up. Because sometimes, you know, you might feel like giving up. Well, you come to service, you hear the Word, it builds up your faith, and then you say, yes, I know it's mine. Yes, I've got it. The blood of Jesus paid for it, and I'll not let go. I'll not let go until I see the manifestation. Do not let go of your hope. Don't fling away your fearless confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, if you stand and continue to stand. But I believe many of you will receive your healing today. As you hear the Word, you can have salvation. As you hear the Word, you can have healing. As you hear the Word, you can be filled with the Spirit. There's more. You can have a fresh infilling. There's more and more and more, until we can't see the end of it. And we just want to be lifted up into higher realms. That's what I want. I need to be lifted up into a higher realm today. A higher realm of glory. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. Let's go to the next glory today. Let's go to the next glory. Let's be lifted up in Jesus. Let the Word sink into your soul. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And Jesus Himself said, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. You need not look out here somewhere, or way up yonder in the blue, in the sky. Now, Jesus prayed, He looked up. We look up when we pray. God is up. God is in. God is with us. God is in us. And He's for you. He is for you. He loves you. He loves you so much He gave all that He had. All that He had. Verse 25, nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. In the end of the world. Now Paul is 2,000 years ago saying in the end of the world. What does that mean? We hear all the time. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I heard a few people say we were in the end times. But now, even secular scientists are saying something major is going to happen. And you hear lots and lots of preachers saying we're in the end times. Peter spoke that, and Paul here spoke that. But we want the end of the world to come to an end in us. We are not part of the world anymore. And the world should not be part of us anymore. You know, I've heard it said, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt, but getting Egypt to come out of them was a different story. Sometimes it seems that's the way we are. We come out of the world when we're born again, or at least we're supposed to come out of the world. If you're truly born again, you will come out of the world. But getting the world out of us takes purification by the Word, renewing the mind by the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. And you can't please God without faith. And you got to hear the Word to have faith. Verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Us without sin, without spot, without wrinkle. And I want to go just a little bit in chapter 10. For when this was originally written, it wasn't divided into chapters. And this is a continuation of the thought here. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, a shadow of good things to come. You know, I think healing is a pretty good thing. I think prosperity is a pretty good thing, having our needs provided. I think that's a pretty good thing. I think having property and deliverance is a pretty good thing. They had that under the law. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So we see, under the old covenant, we could not be made perfect. Just year by year, you could have forgiveness of your sins, of your outward sins, but not the inner man. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, by God's will, His will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. In the old covenant, they had things that only pertained to the body, healing, property, and all the things that you read about in Deuteronomy 28 through 32 or thereabouts. They had all of these blessings that pertain to the body. But we read over here in verse 14, how much more. And if you study in Hebrews, you see this is a new and better covenant. Well, listen, if this covenant did not provide healing, I wouldn't think it would be better. Would you? If this covenant did not provide prosperity or property or all the good things that pertain to the body or to the flesh, I wouldn't think it would be better. If it was only the spirit that I could have someday, by and by, after a while, when I die, pie in the sky, I wouldn't think that would be better. That would be great, but what would it help me now? What would it help me now? What would it do for you now? What does God want to do for you now? What does His will say for now? We read it is His will for you to be sanctified, set apart, holy unto the Lord, without spot, without sin, without blemish. If there's anything in the way between you and God today, all you have to do, it's a breath away. Just say, Lord, forgive me, wash it away by Your blood, and His blood is once and for all, eternal, all-powerful. It will wash it away. He is so merciful. There is no sin too great. He can forgive a murderer. He can forgive a blasphemer, as long as you don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Even if you've spoken against Jesus, He can forgive all manner of sin. If you've spoken against others, ask Him to forgive you now so that you can come before Him clean, holy, sanctified, and partake of everything that His blood has paid for. You know, we have a problem receiving healing. We have a problem with it. Do you know why? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. And he's there telling us that we don't have it. These things are not true. His goal from the very beginning in Genesis, his goal was to come against the Word of God. Amen. Was to come against what God had spoken. That's how he came to Eve. He said, did God say? To come against the Word of God. To discredit God. That's his goal. That's why he comes against you, to tell you, you cannot have it, you don't have it, to make you doubt, to fill you with doubt and unbelief, to discredit God. That's his job. To sow weeds, tares, among the wheat of the word that you've heard. But the scripture cannot be broken. And the reason Jesus said, you know, when the four friends let the man down through the roof, and what did Jesus say? He said, thy sins be forgiven. They did not have a problem with healing. They thought, oh, he's a great prophet or something, you know. They had healing in the old covenant. They really didn't have a problem with healing. But somebody that could forgive sins, this is standing in the stead of God. In the position of God. Now Jesus bought back that position for us. We read that word, enjoined. This new covenant not only includes everything that the children of Abraham had, which it says in Galatians that we are the children of Abraham if we are by the faith of Christ. We're the children of Abraham. Therefore, we have all of that. That's no problem. But how much more? But see, they had a problem. They didn't have a problem with healing. They had a problem with forgiveness of sins. Now it's turned the opposite in this day and time. Well, we think, oh yeah, God can forgive sins. Yeah, Jesus forgives sins. We believe that without a problem, so the enemy doesn't come against that, usually. But we have trouble believing for healing. And I think that is foolishness. That is foolishness. It's foolishness for us to not believe the Word of the living God. For us to not believe that we have healing, we have prosperity, we have salvation, we have deliverance. So don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever you need, whatever battle you're in, it's only a battle of the mind. It's only a battle with the enemy, not with God. God has already done it. He's already provided everything you need 2,000 years ago on the cross with that precious blood. Everything that you need has been purchased. Let's believe it. Let's keep striving to believe it. Let's keep standing against the enemy when he comes. He's the enemy of our souls. He's the enemy of our minds, to discredit God. But if you stand and if you believe, and you see the manifestation that glorifies God. Jesus made an open show of the devil. That's what we're to do. And when we stand for what we need, and then it shows forth in our lives, it makes a show to the world and to the devil that you have lost the battle and Jesus won. And it's shown forth outwardly through the body. Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to heal some people today. Amen. If anyone needs physical healing, mental healing, any kind of turmoil, I'm hungry for God. Amen. Let's lay aside every weight and let's come and ask the Lord to lift us up into greater glory and to manifest whatever we need here today and to glorify Himself. To glorify Himself. That's what we want to see in the earth today. Yes. And He promised to do it. He promised to do it. Let Him do it through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.